Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni, dragi poslušalci, v intervjuju Radija Študent. Z nami v studiju je danes Marija Jur, bolj znana pod umetniškim imenom Marija Minerva. Marija bo danes nastopila v klubu Channel Zero ob 22. uri. Tukaj z nami je pa zato, da malo bolj predstavi svojo glasbeno pot, svojo glasbo in tudi pove, zdaj mi namiguje, nič ne razumem, kaj govoriš. Okay, so we're going to switch to English so that you understand. I just said, introduced you and said you're going to play tonight at yeah. Channel Zero and now I'm gonna get some information about you for our listeners. Let's hope to get some more people to the show.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just start with your first experience yesterday on the plane. You met two guys from the parliament.
Yeah.
How was it?
Can I say who they were? No.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
One guy was, his name is Bogdan Barovic.
Yeah.
The other guy's name I don't remember because he was quiet.
Yeah.
But yeah, my first impression of Slovenia was pretty exhilarating. Because
all right.
Traveling is very boring, but sometimes you meet interesting people, and randomly I ended up sitting next to someone pretty known in Slovenia. We had a nice conversation. He was a bit crazy, but I'm a bit crazy too, so it was cool. I was laughing the whole time. Yeah.
So, but you made a very interesting comparison with Žižek on the internet afterwards.
Because we were talking about Žižek. I think Žižek is like the main Slovenian, Slovenian philosopher, Slovenian person that people in the West know. And I mentioned it to Mr. Barovic as well, and he said, yeah, of course I know Žižek, but I don't agree with his views because he's like from the Nationalist Party. And Žižek just talks about, you know, whatever he feels like. So, no, it was funny, but they were talking the same way, like just doing intense hand gestures and like the accent, the Slovenian English accent was a bit similar. So I was like, okay, Slovenian men are crazy. Seriously.
So that was your conclusion.
Yeah, at least those were like over 50 or something.
Yeah. Okay, but you also mentioned to me that you came across some other philosophers during your studies. Can you tell us a bit more about what you did for your studies in London? And
It was at London University Goldsmiths College, which is a famous art college. And I studied like audiovisual culture. It was a theory course, so we were reading this Slovenian author called Mladen Dolar. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Dolar.
Yeah, I still don't know how to pronounce it, although we spent a year like reading his book. So it was very nice. So there's a huge connection to, you know, Slovenian philosophy where I come from, which is kind of nice. And I'm happy to be here just to see the country, because you know I had a very good opinion of Slovenia before, but this is my first time here, so it's exciting.
Okay, tell us, how did you get involved with the whole musical thing? I mean, is it something that dates from, you know, like your teenage years or at what point did you start creating your own music?
Yeah, it was in 2009. I was living in London for just the summer. I was doing my internship at the Wire magazine, and I didn't know anyone in London. And as it turned out, I was living in the wrong part of the city, because everyone was living in East London, but I was like the last person to be living in Camden. That was really uncool, or something like that. So I didn't know where to go, because, you know, how would you know if you go to a big city for the first time? So I was sitting there in Camden in a big house that we got from our friends, but I didn't know what to do and I was kind of bored. And I was always like, I was interning at a music magazine, so I was surrounded by like this, the most exciting music the whole time. And I was sort of, my mind state was, I think I was sort of like in a weird like delusion, so happy to be involved with The Wire and the whole music thing. So it just happened, like suddenly I felt like it's time, and I went online and just ordered some stuff and got Ableton Live, and then just started messing around. But I started from zero, I didn't know how to use anything, so it took me quite a long time to actually come up with like something that sounded decent. Because if you're like a girl who has studied art history for, you know, 5 years, you don't really know how to use machines in order to make music. And I was really clueless, but I think this is where my sound came from. Like not knowing how to use machines sort of led me to the result that I ended up with. Yeah, but it was kind of random. I just started out of nowhere in a way.
But how did you make choices regarding, let's say, instruments or machinery that you use?
That was completely, I mean, my only choice was electronic music, because I can't play any instruments. And this is also what I wanted to do. I can't see myself like with a guitar singing sad songs. So it was like a jump into the unknown. I just said to myself, just try. No sweat if it doesn't work out. And I remember a lot of my friends were like, oh yeah, okay, you started making music, let's see how much, like, how long you're going to do it for. Like, everyone was a bit skeptical.
Okay.
And I didn't even, like, I didn't want to prove anything to anyone, maybe just to myself. But there was this one breaking point when I realized that I'm actually enjoying doing this, and it's just not something like, oh, I got a synthesizer, but I'm playing it for a week and then I'm giving up.
Yeah.
I actually got into it and everyone was really surprised. And of course, they became more and more surprised when I actually ended up, you know, getting somewhere with the music.
Yeah.
So it's been a big surprise, I guess, for everyone, but for me, for myself the most. Yeah. It's been a very strange year.
Yeah. Okay. Let's think
a question I wanted to ask you. It's like, you know, in contemporary music, it's my opinion that, you know, when women make music, we always tend to think about them as women making music, whereas when men make music, it's just music. We don't use the sex, you know, to describe their music. How do you look at that? I mean, do you agree? How do you see that? Do you see that there's something changing nowadays? You know, women getting proficient with using the machinery and all the software available?
Yeah, for sure. I think you read the New York Times article about me and some other women in electronic music today, like Laurel Halo, Sleepover, Grimes, like Julia Holter. I love them all. I was a fan of theirs, like Julia Holter's and Night Shows before I got into music myself. So I saw that there are some girls doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need to actually be a super producer to come up with something very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Night Jewel, mm-hmm. I think she's becoming like a better producer all the time. But when she started, her recordings were very raw as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they sounded so cool, and I was a big fan of hers. So I think, yeah, there were like a few people around who inspired me to just try to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Women as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think technology is it's becoming so available. Even people like me who don't have any money or any skills can sort of just give it a shot and see if it works out. And this is what I did. And yeah, I hope it's changing. I was just in Berlin, talking to a girl from Berlin who was really into techno music, and she said the same thing, that like 10 years ago she couldn't think of any women making techno, but now like Laurel Halo mm-hmm. and Stella Romsos are doing like awesome things. So I think it is changing, and maybe what I have proved to I don't know who is that even if you don't have the skills, you have to have like the urge to make music and some kind of songwriting talent, or just like mm-hmm. the sensitivity or the touch,
mm-hmm.
And then you end up with a piece of music that actually sounds really nice, even though you can tell that the person who made it maybe doesn't know that much about like how to actually use a drum machine or whatever,
mm-hmm.
which I still don't really know. I have some machines now, but I still don't know what to do with them. So I'm waiting for a break when I can sit down with my machines and like actually try to do music in a more professional way.
Mm-hmm. When I spoke with my colleagues, a couple of them said that your music sounds very fresh. You know, so
that's the biggest compliment.
Yes, I think it's a very, very big compliment.
Yeah.
So we have there like some very interesting use of like combinations of let's say some pop elements with some dub elements. I mean, is it something that you were that you intentionally wanted to? Like, did you want your music to sound like pop?
Yeah, for sure. I think I've always been caught between different things. I've always been interested in mainstream culture, but like pop music, but at the same time avant-garde music. So when I started making music myself, it seemed like the most natural thing to do, to try to stay somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if it's possible to do like pop music but not sound kind of boring or predictable, because there's a lot of indie pop around that is nice but kind of boring. I wanted to do something that's a bit more, not radical, but just a bit more crazy,
mm-hmm.
or like mm-hmm. idiosyncratic, or just like special in a way. So this is that was my starting point, to be in between like experimental music and pop music,
mm-hmm.
as generic as that may sound. And then of course I started like borrowing elements from all kinds of genres that I've been into, such as dance music, or as you said, dub. Although I don't mm-hmm. know that much about dub, but I've been interested in like bass music and
mm-hmm.
dub. So
mm-hmm.
in my own like amateur way, I was trying to incorporate the elements, but since I didn't really know how to like do it properly, it all, again, it became like this weird hybrid form of mm-hmm. elements. So I'm still working on it, but it's been very interesting for myself, especially just to see like how much can you put into one song?
Mm-hmm.
I think I always wanted to be as eclectic as possible,
mm-hmm.
and as diverse as possible, and like put these little hints into my songs that people, if they are interested enough, that they will find eventually.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, how did you get involved with the Not Not Fun record label?
That was the craziest thing in my whole life. it was very easy. I was doing music for 1 year and 4 months or something before I sent them a demo.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only demo I ever sent, which was kind of random, because when you make music, you sort of start out with like local tape labels or something like that. But we didn't have labels in Tallinn, where I'm from. And I was always like, I want to make it big or not make it at all. And for me, Not Enough Fun was like big, although it's not big, but
yeah.
I was a fan, so I was like, I only want to release music with a label that I'm a fan of myself.
Okay.
Not some kind of, you know, just a small Estonian whatever label.
Yeah.
I was pretty ambitious in that sense. But of course, that meant that nothing was going on for a long time, because I was just sitting at home being like, waiting for my the so-called big break. And then I sent my one demo to Not Enough Fun, which was actually just a YouTube link. And I don't know how come they even opened it, because I know they hate everything digital, and they, on their website, they say that we are always waiting for demos, but if you send us something, please send us like a tape or a CD.
Okay.
Don't just send like random links. This is what I did. I just sent one link saying, this is what I do. And I went to bed. It was December 30 last year, and then next morning I got up and they had replied, because you know the time difference in LA.
Yes,
so when I woke up in London, I had an email from Not Enough Fun, and they said something like, "We want to release everything you've ever done."
Oh!
And then I was just shaking and jumping around for a week, and then I became really paranoid. I thought it's probably just a joke and it's not going to work out.
Oh right.
Yeah, but it worked out and it was great. I loved them.
Which song did you send?
There were like a few. I had just stuff on YouTube, like maybe 8 tracks or something.
Uh-huh,
yeah. That I liked myself, that I wanted to have online. And when they heard the stuff, they said, "Do you have more?" I said, "Of course I have more stuff." And then I sent them like perhaps 25 tracks. And this is all that came out this year. Like
all right.
My tape, my 12-inch, my album.
Okay.
So this is what they did. Yeah, they released everything I had done. I don't know if it was a good idea or bad, but now it's all out in the world. I can't really like take responsibility anymore, because I'm distancing myself from all this.
Okay. Now we're already having like 25 plus minutes of our talk.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe just to share some of your future plans.
Yeah.
So you're now on tour. This is your first European tour.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, you're discovering places and countries.
I'm trying very hard to see. Sleep at the hotel and go to the sound check.
So, how are the next steps?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty intense until mid-November, doing shows, and then I'm moving to Portugal to record my album, and also doing shows on like weekends, because now I'm just traveling all the time. I
mm-hmm.
haven't been home. I didn't know what home is, but I haven't been home for over a month, and I'm getting used to being homeless. I'm enjoying it. I meet a lot of nice people, and at the end of the day, there's a bed waiting for me somewhere, so it's been okay. But yeah, I'm getting a bit, I'm missing home, and I'm excited about going to Lisbon and recording. So this is the main plan, to do my shows, come down a bit, record, and then keep on doing music, keep on doing shows, and hopefully next year will bring good things. I'm hoping to do some more festivals, smaller
mm-hmm.
and bigger ones. And in November, I'm also releasing my next EP for 100% Silk, which is Not Fun's like sister label.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that, because I finally got pitchforked. I was waiting to get pitchforked for
mm-hmm.
ages. I don't know. They didn't like me. I was a bit like And now, just yesterday, they posted a song from my new EP, so it's official. I'm on pitchfork. It's coming out. Everyone has to buy it and just come
and see that live I look and sound very different than on the record.
All right.
Something like that.
Oh, cool. Okay. Okay. Now I'm switching back to Sloven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Torej, z nami v studiu, dragi poslušalci in poslušalke, je bila Marija Minerva oziroma Marija Jur, doma iz Tallina v Estoniji in trenutno nomadka potujoča po Evropi. Koncertirala bo nocoj v klubu Channel Zero na Metelkovi. Vrata se odprejo pol devetih, koncert pa pričakujemo enkrat po 10 uri. Lepo bote, upam, da se vidimo zvečer. Z vami sva bile Marija in Katarina.
Intervju Radija Študent.